It is now my pleasure to introduce our speaker for today, our own Alan Knox. Gene and Alan joined the fellowship about 20 years ago, and Alan has served the fellowship in many capacities as president for at least one term and has been on a number of committees, including the membership, Sunday services, and the endowment fund committees. In 1987, Alan left his work to become the home parent to help raise daughter Alyssa and son Trevor. Prior to that, Alan had built a career that included youth and resident camp work with YMCA, adult education and extension work at Grand Prairie Regional College, and as a recreation consultant at SPRA, the Saskatchewan Parks and Recreation Association. In the midst of that, Alan fitted in graduate school and sessional lecturing at the University of Saskatchewan. Alan Knox.
Thank you, Jamie. Again, this is a part of our Famous Unitarians series. And it is with respect to Ray Kurzweil, that's how I believe he pronounces it, a futurist, inventor, entrepreneur, best-selling author, and now a director of engineering at Google. Our series title may be a little misleading, as a number of the people we identify as Unitarian may not be practicing Unitarians, but are people who have been exposed to Unitarianism and who live their lives by our Unitarian principles. I myself fit into this category. While I am a member of the Unitarian Fellowship of Regina, as an atheist, I am not a Unitarian, per se. And I want to draw your attention to the fall 1991 edition of the World magazine from the Unitarian Universalist Association of America. And in it, they introduced, let me just read the first paragraph. Though Unitarian Universalism is a relatively small denomination, it has been and continues to be composed of influential individuals. For that reason, UUs appear on a disproportionately high number of postage stamps. 54 are known to be featured on stamps from throughout the world, and some of them are Canadians. And we do have a copy of this journal in the file, because I put it into a file and put a note on it, please do not destroy or whatever, and it should be in the filing cabinet there somewhere. And I made some copies, and occasionally I put them on the bulletin boards downstairs. And I'll add this one to the display that's down there now about some famous Unitarians. In preparation for this presentation, I have consulted Wikipedia. Kurzweil's entry comprises 23 pages in Wikipedia. His curriculum vitae, which comprises 17 pages. An address on Ray Kurzweil given to the Melbourne Unitarian Church in October 8, 2006. An article in Maclean's magazine dated October 21st, 2013, and several other biographical sources and articles. Fascinating all, and I have them behind me if you want to have a look at them later on. Ray Kurzweil was born to secular Jewish parents. Wikipedia tells us he was exposed via Unitarian Universalism to a diversity of religious faiths during his upbringing. His Unitarian church had the philosophy of many paths to the truth. The religious education consisted of spending 6 months on a single religion before moving on to the next. We did something like that with the children some years ago. Wikipedia refers to him as being an agnostic. Lev Lafayette, in his address to the Melbourne Unitarian Church, states, "I have been unable to discern whether he is a practicing Unitarian, whatever that means, but he does give his Unitarian upbringing credit for his interest in scientific investigation without dogma." Kurzweil's father was a musician, a noted conductor, and a music educator. His mother was a visual artist. Kurzweil decided he wanted to be an inventor at the age of 5. He was an avid reader of science fiction literature in his youth. Kurzweil was involved with computers at a young age when they were not so simple. He had built computing devices by the age of 12. At 14, he wrote a paper describing his theory of the neocortex, which is a big part of the front part of the brain and responsible for higher intelligence, that sort of thing. In 1963, at age 15, Kurzweil wrote his first computer program. He created a pattern recognition software program that analyzed the works of classical composers and then synthesized its own songs in similar styles. In 1965, he was invited to appear on the CBS TV program I've Got a Secret, where he performed a piano piece that was composed by a computer he had built. He won first prize in the International Science Fair for the invention. Kurzweil obtained a Bachelor of Science degree in Computer Science and Literature at MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Computer Science and Literature. What an interesting combination for a degree. In 1968, during his sophomore year at MIT, Kurzweil started a company that used a computer to match high school students with colleges. The program was called the Select College Consulting Program. It compared thousands of different criteria about each college with questionnaire answers submitted by each student applicant. He sold the program to Harcourt Brayson World for $100,000 plus royalties. This was a considerable sum at that time. In 1974, Kurzweil founded Kurzweil Computer Products Incorporated and led development of the first OmniFont optical character recognition system. Sounds pretty technical. Jim may understand that. A computer program capable of recognizing text written in any normal font. Using this technology, Kurzweil created a reading machine which would allow blind people to understand written text by having a computer read it to them aloud. To do this, he had to invent the CCD flatbed scanner and the text-to-speech synthesizer. It was eventually called the Kurzweil Reading Machine. Stevie Wonder, a blind pianist, I believe, and jazz musician, heard a demonstration and purchased the first production version, beginning a lifelong friendship with Kurzweil. Kurzweil's association with Stevie Wonder led him to the realm of electronic music technology. He created a new generation of music synthesizers capable of accurately duplicating the sounds of real instruments. Kurzweil Music Systems was founded in 1982, and in 1984, the Kurzweil K250 was unveiled. This machine is capable of imitating a number of instruments, and in tests, musicians were unable to discern the difference between the K250 on piano mode and a normal grand piano. Using the machine, a single user can compose and play an entire orchestral piece. So far, I have focused on Kurzweil's early career. Since then, he has had many accomplishments, far too numerous to mention here. He has received many awards and honors, including 20 honorary doctorates, including one from McGill University in Quebec. 20. He has received honors from 3 U.S. presidents, Johnson, Reagan, and Clinton. All of this makes fascinating reading, but again, no time to go through all the details, but I do have it at the back if you want to consult later on. Still, here are a few highlights. He has written 10 books, including How to Create a Mind, The Secret of Human Thought, 2012, The Intelligent Universe, AI, meaning artificial intelligence, ET, I assume meaning extraterrestrial intelligence, and The Emerging Mind of the Cosmos, 2011, Fantastic Voyage, Live Long Enough to Live Forever, 2010, The Age of Spiritual Machines, When Computers Exceed Human Intelligence, 2009, The Age of Intelligent Machines, 2009, Transcend, 9 Steps to Living Well Forever, 2009, which I have read, The Singularity is Near, 2009, The Singularity is Near, When Humans Transcend Biology, 2009. 2009 was a big year for books, obviously. Are We Spiritual Machines? Ray Kurzweil versus the Critics of Strong AI, 2001. And The 10% Solution for a Healthy Life, 1993. Over the years, Kurzweil founded 10 companies. He's credited with 16 technology firsts. His curriculum vitae lists 48 awards and honors and 6 film awards. In addition to his many technical and scientific accomplishments, Kurzweil has become interested in health and aging. His father died from heart disease at age 58. At age 35, Kurzweil was diagnosed with glucose intolerance. We might say he was pre-diabetic. He developed an association with Dr. Terry Grossman, MD, and they have written 2 books together, Fantastic Voyage, Live Long Enough to Live Forever, and Transcend, 9 Steps to Living Well Forever. These books focus on their belief that information is increasing exponentially and that this information explosion can be used to improve our health outcomes. They speculate that in less than 2 decades, we will be able to, quote, add more than a year to one's remaining life expectancy for each year that passes. They get into this whole area of nanobots, tiny little cell-like things that they'll be able to inject into your bloodstream, and they will go to the right area and correct what your problems are. It's fascinating. In the book, they project what medical advances will be achieved in 2023 and 2034. They also discuss the various supplements they recommend to support good health. Kurzweil himself takes 150 supplements a day. It used to be 250, but he's consolidated, I assume. It makes me think that a handful that I take every day is not so bad. I get ridiculed sometimes for doing it. But if one of the smartest men on the planet takes 150, I can't be wrong, can I? With this regimen, he has been able to keep his blood chemistry in the normal ranges in spite of his concern about his genetic predispositions. Kurzweil was referred to as the ultimate thinking machine by Forbes magazine and as a restless genius by the Wall Street Journal. PBS included Kurzweil as one of 16 revolutionaries who made America, along with other inventors of the past 2 centuries. Inc. magazine ranked him number 8 among the most fascinating entrepreneurs in the United States and called him Edison's rightful heir. In December 2012, Kurzweil was hired by Google as a full-time position, in a full-time position, to, quote, work on new projects involving machine learning and language processing. Google co-founder Larry Page and Kurzweil agreed on a one-sentence job description: to bring natural learning understanding to Google. In a review of the film Transcendent Man, a film about the life and ideas of Ray Kurzweil, Michael Shermer, who often writes for Skeptic magazine, notes, quote, there is something almost religious about Kurzweil's scientism, .. Although the film never discloses Kurzweil's religious beliefs, .. in a presumably unintentionally humorous moment that ends the film, Kurzweil reflects on the God question and answers it himself. Does God exist? I would say, Not yet. Cheeky, observes Scherber. And just to finish, if you might be interested in exploring this man and what he has done and what he believes, I would recommend, if you have a computer at home, that you go to TED Talks, if you know what TED Talks are. If you don't, ask me and I'll tell you. You could just Google TED Talks, Ray Kurzweil, and you'd have all sorts of options for short presentations that he has given over the years, and I'm sure you'll find it fascinating. So, there we go, Ray Kurzweil. Now, I'm not sure if I can answer any questions, but if you have any, I'll do my best. And I do have material at the back here if you want to explore it later on. Oh, this transcends 9 steps to living well forever. The 9 steps are talk with your doctor, relaxation, assessment, nutrition, supplements, calorie reduction, exercise, new technologies, and detoxification. And they have an interesting process here, actually. They create what they call avatars of themselves. And this book was written in 2009. And so they talk to themselves in 2023 about the things that they project will be happening in 2023. And then 2034. So they're showing you how medical advances they assume will proceed. Now we'll have to wait and see. Kurzweil does have his detractors, of course, and he's made predictions that have obviously not come true. But I mean, when you're a futurist, not everything you think about can happen. In fact, it's interesting to note that in the 50s, 60s area, people were consulting futurists. None of them conceived of the personal computer in the way in which we use it today, or the cell phone and all that sort of thing. It wasn't even in their whatever. So this is a fascinating book. I really quite enjoyed it. You'd be free to borrow it, except I underline almost everything and highlight and take notes, and you wouldn't want to read my copy, but at the library we'll have one for sure. And it's very good information in terms of what you need to be helpful.
This is about what you said at the beginning, Alan, and if I heard you correctly, that since you're an atheist, you can't really be a Unitarian or something like that?
Well,
did I hear it right?
Well, what is a Unitarian? That's an interesting discussion.
Well, I think of the principles. Now, there's nothing in there having to believe in a supernatural power.
Well, what a Unitarian, basically coming from 400 years ago.
Oh yeah, it's a
variation of the Christian religion, and they believed in one God as opposed to the Trinity. But they did believe in the spiritualism
the
and all that sort of thing. So that I don't believe. So
I'm not
a religious person per se, but I can abide by the principles and be a member of this fellowship because you tolerate folks like me.
Just barely.
Kind of interesting, your list, because there's one thing that Hillary and I didn't hear. We were at a meeting the other day, an expert, and quote, who had raised $45 million in research money, so I think we could say expert, in her career, who a gerontologist, who talked about living well and living longer and so forth. And two of the key things is being involved in community and friendship. That is very, very important. And yet, that's not on the list there.
Well, it's probably in the book, but I read this some years ago, so I can't remember it all.
So you've probably read more. Well, I know you've read more than me. There's no question. A lot of the Unitarians we've picked out to talk about are Americans, who undoubtedly have influence on our country and many others. I mean, just all the things that he's done and invented. I keep wondering, you know, how do you have a sense of how Unitarians are different in the U.S. and in Canada? And it, not no. specifically related to this man, just from your reading?
No, I haven't really studied them in that sense. No, I don't. The chap who is credited somewhat with inventing the Internet, Berners-Lee, is a Unitarian, but I understand he became a Unitarian after he did his initial work on the Internet. But no, there are some Canadians on this list, too, and some people from around the world. They weren't just focusing on American Unitarians in this world postage stamp sort of thing. But I assume that in, well, I know, of course, obviously, there must be in these other faith groups also very famous people, so we can't lay claim to, maybe we just brag a little bit more, so it came to our attention. But the very significant people that have been Unitarians or have had a Unitarian background, extremely significant, scientifically, literature, music, musical, and everything, it is impressive.
Thank you very much for a very interesting presentation about a fascinating man, Alan.
Thank you.